Philippians chapter 4. And our text for this morning is that verse 2. Philippians 4 and verse 2. Paul says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Having dealt with one of the problems in the church at Philippi, namely the problem of a danger of compromise, the apostle now moves on to another problem. He mentions here in this second verse. To the outsider, to the person who perhaps didn't know the makeup of the church in Philippi, as they looked upon that congregation, they may have thought that that would have been a church that any believer would be glad to be a member of. They would say it was a loving church, a church that stood firm for the Lord, a church that had a good witness there in Philippi. But then, the outsider, the non-member, wouldn't have known what was going on under the surface. Because there was a problem in the church. It was a problem of conflict. There was a conflict between two women in the church at Philippi, one called Euodias and the other Syntyche. In my last church in Northern Ireland, there was a dear man there and his wife and three daughters. I had the joy of leading that whole family to the Lord. And the man of the home, every now and again he would take off on the Lord's Day and he'd visit one of our other free Presbyterian churches. And he wasn't really behind the door and letting me know, because at the Wednesday night prayer meeting he would tell me he was away at such and such a church. Oh, that's a great church. There are friendly people there. That's a great church. And he talked about this church and he would visit it from time to time. Well, what Albert didn't know was that there was trouble in that church. Being a free Presbyterian church, I of course knew the minister. And we often talked about the trouble and the trouble that he had in dealing with that church. Albert was an outsider. He didn't know what was going on under the surface. There were people in that church who were giving the minister trouble. There were people in the church at Philippi who were giving the minister trouble. Euodias and Syntyche. Two women had had a quarrel. They'd fallen out. And there was some kind of conflict going on between them. And here in verse 2 we read the words of Paul. Paul says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. If the first problem that Paul dealt with was the problem of compromise, here he has to deal with the problem of conflict. Conflict in the church there at Philippi, that church that Paul loved so much. Two women, Euodias and Syntyche, were in some kind of conflict with each other. Now we're not told what the bone of contention was. We're not told the reason why the two women had fallen out. But it had so divided these women that Paul felt it necessary to issue this appeal. I beseech Euodias And I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. As we said, Paul didn't give the reason for their fallout. Perhaps the reason for the quarrel wasn't worth mentioning. Wasn't worth talking about. But then, believer, isn't that often the case? That Christians fall out over some trivial matter, and they go on for weeks and months and maybe years, not speaking to one another. And they have this conflict between the two of them. Paul says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Let's consider the woman in this conflict. This is the only place in Scripture where the names of these two women appear. The only place. Philippians 4 verse 2. You don't read about Euodias or Syntyche anywhere else in all of the Bible. And isn't it sad that they are mentioned by Paul in connection with discord? Isn't it sad that they are mentioned in connection with their differences and with division? Here we have then a way for us to remember the women. Here is how these two women will be remembered for their discord. It would appear that the two women were prominent members of the church at Philippi, but they had a falling out. And sadly, that is how these two women will always be remembered. Mention these two names in the company of those who are familiar with Paul's epistle to the church at Philippi. And people will respond and say, oh, they're the two women that Paul appealed to be of the same mind. They'll always be remembered for their division and their discord. Let someone read this verse for the first time. Let someone read this chapter for the first time, and they will say that those two women had their differences. That's what they will concentrate on. That's what they will see immediately. That Paul had to appeal to two Christian women to be of the same mind. That's how they'll always be remembered. I think that's most sad. Just like Hymenaeus and Alexander, two names that are mentioned again by Paul in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme? What else do we know about Hymenaeus and Alexander? Nothing. Other than what is found here in the verse 20. That's how they'll be remembered. And what will we always remember about Demas? 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. That will overshadow anything else we may read about Demas. Demas has forsaken me. And what about Alexander the coppersmith? Alexander the coppersmith, chapter 4 and verse 14 of 2 Timothy. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. That's how Alexander the coppersmith will be remembered. How Demas will be remembered. How Hymenaeus and Alexander will be remembered. And how Iodius and Syntyche will be remembered. I'm afraid Iodius and Syntyche will not be remembered for their work. But they'll always be remembered for their warfare. It is sad when Christians are remembered in this way. It is sad when Christians are always remembered for their quarreling, for their differences, for their fighting spirit. It is sad when Christians are remembered not for their humility or grace or loving kindness or their sweetness. Instead, they always will be remembered for their quibbling and quarreling. That's how Iodius and Syntyche will always be remembered. Sad to say. Remembering the women. Then we consider the reputation of the women. You see, these women were hard workers in the church and indeed assisted Paul as he sought to spread the good news of the gospel. Look at verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. We'll be looking at the yoke fellow, God willing, next week. Help those women which labored with me. And the reference there is to Iodius and Syntyche. Help those women. Help Iodius and Syntyche, which labored with me in the gospel with Clement. And yet what we read about them in verse 2 overshadows what we read about them in verse 3. I don't think we'll remember Iodius and Syntyche so much for their work as for their discord and their differences. Their conflict completely overshadows whatever they had accomplished for Christ. They were once at work. They once were at work with Paul, spreading the gospel. But what are they doing now when Paul wrote that letter to them? They're not working for the Lord. They're at war with each other. They ought to have been at war with the enemies of the cross that we read about in chapter 3. If they wanted to fight, there were the enemies of the cross they could have fought with. But instead they're fighting one another. It reminds me of Saul, Israel's first king. And Saul spent most of his time fighting David, when he should have been fighting the real enemy, the Philistines. Instead, he had made an enemy of David, Israel's chosen king, Israel's anointed king. He was fighting the wrong enemy. Iodius and Syntyche ought to have been standing against the enemies of the cross. Instead, they've made an enemy of each other. And this conflict was ruining their reputation as willing workers. And how sad that all of what they accomplished for the Lord is overshadowed by some petty difference that had arisen between the two women. Whatever the reason was for the quarrel, Would they not have been better forgetting their differences for the sake of the gospel witness there at Philippi? Would they have not have been better forgetting about their differences and get on with the work of assisting Paul and furthering the work of the witness of Christ in Philippi? What is a petty quarrel? What is it in the light of eternity? What is some petty quarrel in the light of souls that need Christ and are perishing in their sin? What is some petty quarrel between Christians in the light of Calvary? Doesn't add up to much, does it? Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We were saying there about why didn't they just forget their petty differences, their personal differences, and give themselves to the work of God? That's what Paul said to some of the believers at Corinth. And their problem was much more serious than the problem between Euodias and Syntyche in Philippi. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 6. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. This was a far more serious problem. Paul says in verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? If you feel you've been wronged, well, accept it. But for the sake of the gospel witness, don't go to law with each other. Accept the wrong. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? It was a much more serious problem at Corinth than the one there in Philippi. But Paul appeals to the Corinthian believers, take the wrong for the sake of the cause of Christ. Would it not have been better for Euodias and Syntyche to accept the wrong? If they felt they'd been wrong, well, that's all right. Accept it and get on with it. Get on with spreading the gospel and assisting Paul. Whatever the differences was between Euodias and Syntyche, it was personal. And they shouldn't allow it to sully their good reputation. They shouldn't allow their differences to undo all that they had done for the Lord. I want you to consider the reproach and these women. The quarrel between two prominent workers in the church would have brought reproach to the cause of Christ there in Philippi. The gospel they had been helping Paul to spread is the gospel of reconciliation. We read that this morning in Ephesians 2. We who were afar off had been made nigh We've been reconciled to God. That's the gospel. It's the gospel of reconciliation. And yet, how could Yodius and Syntyche speak to sinners about being reconciled to God when they weren't reconciled to each other? There's no reconciliation between the two women. What does the world think? Dear Christian, what does the world think when they see Christians fighting and quarreling amongst themselves? Pastor Mullen, the great Pastor Mullen, was a rough character before his salvation. Pastor Mullen got saved in the middle of a field. Months after he had heard the gospel at a mission. And after he got saved, he didn't know what church to attend. So he went into oneness to a certain church. He happened to go to a midweek meeting, and it was their business meeting, their annual meeting, as we would call it. And he says it was some meeting. He says people were quarreling with one another, and he said one boy was ready to get the coat off. And of course, Mr. Mullen didn't go back to that church. Just a young believer, a young Christian. What does the world think? We want to speak about the love of Christ and been reconciled to God. We want to tell them the story of the Savior's love. And yet for these women, there was no love been shown between the two of them. And then we must consider the ruination of the women. What would this quarreling do to these women? What would it do to them personally? Paul appealed to these women to be reconciled because he did not want it to spread throughout the congregation. Because people would take sides. Wherever there's a difference between individuals in the church and it becomes known in the church, then people start to take sides. And before you know it, in a very short space of time, there's a division in the church and there's schisms. Just as there was in the church at Corinth. Remember what Paul said in that third chapter of 1 Corinthians? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. We're laborers together. And that's how Paul saw it in the church at Philippi. That's why he appealed to Yodius and Syntyche. To be reconciled, to be of the same mind in the Lord. He's saying to them, look, we're laborers together. This is your church there in Philippi. It's your church, your congregation you need to labor together. Paul could see there was the danger of a split occurring in the church. And it all started over something that was trivial, because Paul doesn't even mention it. But what of the women themselves? If this contention was allowed to fester, if this difference and discord was allowed to fester, what would be the outcome? The root of bitterness would spring up in their hearts. And if it wasn't dealt with, if that root of bitterness wasn't pulled out, it would consume them. It has happened so many times. Hebrews 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, Paul says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. But that's where it doesn't end there. That's the problem. It doesn't end there. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Many. And so Paul could see that the difference that had arisen between Iodias and Syntyche, there was the danger of it spreading, not only dividing the church, but destroying the two women as well. The root of bitterness would consume them. And whenever a difference arises, whenever people fall out, they can't keep it to themselves. It has happened so many times. Let's say two people fall out in the church, and they try to solicit support for their side of the argument. They start a whispering campaign. And they start to run down the person they have had a difference with. And that's where many are defiled. And then the person they've been speaking to thinks of that other individual who's in the midst of the quarrel, and they'll be saying, yeah, now when you think of it, they are like that. Yeah, that's right. And so it goes on. Paul made this appeal. I beseech Iodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Because Paul could see what was happening. They would not be able to tame the bitter spirit they would have had toward one another. Not be able to keep their feelings to themselves. Thereby many would be defiled. And they would miss out with God. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And I fear that this difference between the two women had already taken its toll on the lives of Iodias and Syntyche. Look at the names of the two women. Iodias. Iodias means fragrance. Her name means fragrance, and no wonder the apostle was so thankful for the women, as she and Syntyche had labored with him in the gospel. No doubt she spread the sweet fragrance of Christian love around, or the sweet fragrance of Christ. But has not that fragrance gone? Has not the sweetness now gone since she and Syntyche fell out over their differences? Over some petty thing. It can happen so easily, as this woman Eudaeus discovered. She doesn't have the same mind as Syntyche now. They used to be of the same mind. They used to be united. They used to join together in helping Paul to spread the gospel. But now they're divided. Where's the sweetness now? It has gone. And I tell you, believer, whenever the root of bitterness grows up in the heart of a Christian, the sweetness will be gone. And become bitter. And there'll be no sign of the love of Christ. Men or women with a godly, sweet, fragrant spirit are an asset to the work of Christ and to the church of Christ. No wonder Paul appealed to the two women to come together again. He was missing Eudaeus' sweetness and her fragrance. Her Christian fragrance. After all, there's a fragrance about Christ. What would he read in the Song of Solomon? He's the rose of Sharon. Whenever you see a rose blooming there in the summertime, you instinctively go over to smell the fragrance of that rose. Christ is the rose of Sharon. And he's the lily of the valleys. He's sweeter than the honeycomb. What about Syntyche? Eudaeus means fragrance. Syntyche means happy. Isn't that interesting? That the two women who had this falling out, this dispute, one's name means fragrance, the other means happy. I'm sure that this quarrel with Sister Eudaeus took away the happiness from Syntyche. I'm sure neither of the two of them were very happy. They may try to put on a show, but the two women had been so involved in the Lord's work. I'm sure their differences now had taken away their happiness. They'd lost their joy. It had grieved the both of them. If they were worth anything at all, I am sure that this difference, this conflict, had grieved the both of them. And they'd lost their happiness. They'd have lost the joy of the Lord in their hearts. In a very quick time. That's a far cry from what the psalmist has exhorted us to do. Psalm 100 verse 2 serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. There wasn't much gladness to be seen in the lives of these two women. That's why Paul said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That leads us now finally to consider their warfare. Paul did not allow the dispute between the two women to erase from his mind what Euodias and Syntyche had done. He speaks about what they had done in verse 3. He appeals them to be of the same mind in verse 2. But he hasn't forgotten what they used to do, what they were before the dispute and before the quarrel. He remembered the days when they were a great asset to him and to the work of God as they sought to spread the gospel together. He spoke of them as those who labored with me in the gospel. They labored with me. Now that's an interesting word. Labored. They labored with me. The word is found in verse 27 of chapter 1. Verse 27, chapter 1 of Philippians. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving. Same word. Labored with me. They were striving with me for the faith of the gospel. Paul remembered how they strove with him, in the gospel. But where's the striving now? Why, they're striving with each other. They're not striving for the gospel, they're striving against one another. They become distracted by their differences. They've been doing something for God and the cause of Christ, but now their differences have put them, as it were, out of commission. As we will see next week, Lord willing, Paul in verse 3 appeals to those in the church to get these women back together again. Of course, seeing the women quarreling, these two women who had done so much with Paul in the gospel, this would have pleased the devil no end. This is just what the devil ordered. If he can bring division amongst God's people, he knows that the work of the Lord will be hindered. It is only when the people of God strive together for the faith of the gospel that blessing will be experienced. Not striving against one another, but striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's when the blessing will fall, as it did in the church in Jerusalem. You've only to read chapter 2 of Acts, where the believers had all things common. They were of one mind. They were of one heart. And we know what happened. 3,000 souls were saved. Does this not remind us of Psalm 133? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's good and it's pleasant. Wasn't much goodness or pleasantness going on between Euodias and Syntyche. Wasn't very pleasant at all. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Where? Where brethren dwelt together in unity. There the Lord commanded blessing. We've seen the women. We've considered the warfare. Then there's the Word. The Word, I beseech Euodias. Here's the Word. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Notice Paul's fairness. In delivering this word to the two women, notice how fair Paul was. Notice how he makes the appeal to both women equally. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche. He's not taking sides. He's not entering into the argument. He's just simply saying, Euodias, I beseech you. Syntyche, I beseech you. Both of you, be of the same mind in the Lord. And since Paul made this appeal to both women, it would indicate to us that none of the two women were prepared to make the first move towards reconciliation. If Paul had just addressed one of the women, it would indicate that that woman was reluctant to extend the right hand of fellowship. But he appealed to both of them, which means none of the two of them are ready to make the first move to try and bring about a reconciliation. Wonder what would have happened had Paul not made this appeal. I wonder what would have happened if the two women had never been reconciled. They could have ended their days still in the conflict, quarreling over their differences. What a way to live. Life is too short. Believer, life is far too short. You get caught up with petty differences. There's a work to be done. And there must be a laboring together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That word beseech is a strong word. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God. I beseech you. Paul was pleading with them to be reconciled. His fairness, his focus. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There's his focus. The Lord. You know what I think? I think the two women have forgotten all about the Lord. They've forgotten about the Lord. They were so taken up with one another's faults and failures. They were so taken up with this petty difference, whatever it was. And I believe it was something petty. Or else Paul would have set up a commission to look into the matter. He would have called for the elders to look into the matter. Instead, he just makes this simple appeal. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He's saying to them both, you need to get your eyes on the Lord again. You need to focus your attention on the Lord. As he had already exhorted the church to do in chapter 2. If only they had taken to heart Paul's words. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know what I believe? I believe that if Euodias and Syntyche had had the mind of Christ, there wouldn't have been any quarrel. If they had had the mind of Christ, Paul wouldn't have to make this appeal. So in seeking to resolve the problem, what does Paul do, as he did so often? Pointed them to Christ. If only they had the mind of the Lord. In a quarrel, the mind can conjure up all kinds of thoughts. I wonder what Euodias thought of Syntyche. I wonder what Syntyche thought of Euodias. I wonder what they had each said to others about their opponent. Wonder what they'd said. Wonder what critical remark they had made. If only they had thought as Christ thinks. If only they'd filled their minds with the thoughts of Christ, things would be different. If a word was spoken and it offended, we'll go and withdraw that word. If an apology was needed, go make that apology. If someone or woman had to say, I'm sorry, let her say it. But Euodias and Syntyche, I want you to be of the same mind. And I beseech you, fill your minds with things of Christ. We read those words this morning, verses 7 and 8. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtuous, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, peace of God shall be with you. Peace of God. Let us learn from Paul ministering to Eudeus and Syntyche. And let us, brethren and sisters, labor together for the faith of the gospel. Last week, we considered the problem of compromise. This week, the problem of conflict. Next week, in the Lord's will, we'll look at that verse 3. The problem of cooperation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, we gather again unto Thee. We ask Thee, O Lord, that Thou would be pleased to minister to us through Thy word. O gracious God, preserve the unity that we already have here in our church. May we be alert to the wiles of the devil. O Lord, may we as a congregation bear one another's burdens. May we pray for one another. And may the love of Christ be shed abroad in all of our hearts. Lord, keep us looking on to Jesus. And may we, Lord, be like that church in Jerusalem. And like those in the church of Philippi that Paul appealed to be of the same mind in the Lord. Lord, give us the mind of Christ. Oh, for the mind of the Lord. Write thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. May we meditate upon thy word today. Return us, Lord, tonight to learn more from thy truth, to learn more about thee. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now forevermore. Amen.